Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Juneteenth is a holiday when many Americans will celebrate Black culture, history, joy, and emancipation from slavery. It's this Sunday, and it's also a newly minted federal holiday. Many communities around Vermont will be hosting concerts, talks, and other events. Later in the hour, my co-host Connor Cyrus will sit down with Reggie Condra, host of the podcast Brown and Out. But first, here to discuss Juneteenth and celebrations of Black joy is Myra Flynn, an engagement producer here at VPR and a musician. Hi, Myra. Myra is the creator of the Homegoing series on VPR's people-powered journalism project, Brave Little State. The series features Vermont artists of color. In the latest video installment of the series, she sits down with storyteller Fareen Paris Meyer, who is also here in the studio with us. Hi, Fareen.
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, I am so excited to have both of you here. And in studio, we don't do very many in-studio conversations.
I know, it already feels like a party.
Yes.
Well, as I said, we are here just a couple of days before Juneteenth. And Myra, I'm wondering if you could start us off by giving us a bit of the history of this special new holiday.
Absolutely. I'll do my best. Basically, Juneteenth, it has a lot of names. It's been called Jubilee Day, Juneteenth Independence Day, Freedom Day, or Emancipation Day. And it's June 19th, 1965. It's a commemoration of this anniversary in which General Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas to say officially in the last state of the Confederacy with institutional slavery still at play, to inform all of the African Americans that they were free. And the interesting thing about it is that that then put into effect the Emancipation Proclamation, which had already been institutionalized 2 years prior, but yet still we weren't free. So Juneteenth 1865 is a day for us of true freedom and jubilee and joy and just celebrating like the reality of our emancipation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And did I do good?
Okay. I'm over here like, yes, sis, yes, keep it. Dropping that knowledge.
Well, Fareen, as Myra mentioned, Juneteenth has been celebrated in this country in many communities for decades and decades now. But it's also a new federal holiday. I feel like new people are being introduced to this holiday more and more every year. What kinds of Juneteenth traditions do you hope to see cultivated in Vermont?
I'm reflecting because I myself did not have my first Juneteenth celebration until I was in my mid-30s. Myself and two other Black women, Brianna and Kiba, we had our own podcast actually at that time called Black to Our Roots, and we wanted to do a celebration, and someone was like, how about Juneteenth? And I was like, what? Like, they're like, Juneteenth, you know? And I feel like that's what happens. I have these moments where I'm like, how is it as a Black person or as this said identity, I'm finding out about said historical narrative. No one has talked about this, at least in my lived experiences to that point. And it was a beautiful celebration. And so since then, trying to honor that. So I love that we're anchoring and uplifting what this day is, because last Juneteenth of 2021 was literally one of the best times I have had.
Amen, amen.
Like, in my life, as my girl Chenille would say, it was a movie. And those who were not there on opening night, you felt the FOMO. Later in that week, you saw the photos, the outfits, the joy. I mean, people just kept talking about it for days and days. Friendships manifested. Groups kept hanging out. It was everything. It was everything to walk through my city and see brown and Black joy. And so I want that all the time. And I love that we're here again. We're doing a second annual celebration. It's not just one day. Now we're taking over the whole weekend. And we have to just continue being in community and manifesting this for our Black community and seeing us work as a collective to manifest joy, because that is our responsibility as a community.
Well, I know that you two are both involved in some pretty exciting Juneteenth events, but I'm going to save those for the end of our conversation. I'm going to tease folks with that. So stay tuned for what's going on Juneteenth in Vermont this weekend. But first, Myra, I really want to talk to you about Homegoings, which is this series of conversations with artists of color in Vermont that you've been hosting on behalf of Brave Little State, VPR's People-Powered Journalism Project. And we're talking about joy here with Farine and Black joy. And I know that's a topic that comes up a lot in Homegoings, but you cover so much more. Can you introduce us to this series?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like 3 months into my job, I was like, we're starting a series Black artists. And I've been so lucky to work on Brave Little State, this long-form podcast storytelling, so we can really have the chance to unpack these beautiful and also important conversations, and you know, with the integrity that they deserve. Basically, a homegoing is an African-American funeral tradition in which we send our dead back home. And in the wake of the anniversary of George Floyd's murder, we began this series. And a homegoing, my grandmother had one, isn't always sad. It's really interesting. Like, if you dropped in, you'd be like, is this a party or is this a funeral? And it's because right alongside grief, often joy, healing, you know, music, art, flowers, friendship, all sorts of things, and food. It's a very elaborate celebration. And so the series, I wanted these conversations to really, first of all, I feel like Vermont is quite lucky to have these conversations, kind of bringing the mountain to Mohammed, so to speak, because Vermont has a tough time with Black context, right? But when you listen to these deep conversations, you can listen to, say, me and Farine have these intimate conversations because we are Black. We can have them together in this intimate way, and then everybody else gets to kind of look in. We touch on all of those pillars, joy, healing, grief, and rage. And those themes crop up alongside art, which I think is this beautiful kind of segue into some of the tougher conversations that doesn't always make people feel like we are talking about a group of people, but we are talking with people, truly with people. And it's just it's my baby. It's my life. It's been so much fun to make, and to make this video now with Farine is really cool.
Yeah, Farine, what did it feel like to sit down with Myra and to have this very intimate conversation?
It was everything. As Myra was speaking, I was just, my hand was just pulling towards my heart, and I just had to hold it. It means everything for me to sit down and have intimate conversations about the constant thoughts and worries and questions and curiosity that I have on my mind as a Black woman, as a mother, as an artist, as an entrepreneur, as a queer person. So to have someone directly across from you holding so many of your identities that are salient to you, it just was an open invitation to just lean in with trust and faith, because I knew she had me. I knew that I could be unapologetically me. I knew I didn't have to code switch. I didn't have to mask. You know, if the questions that was asked, if it was going to be like an emotional question to answer, I knew I could take my time. There was just no urgency. And it was just all anchored in what it means to move through the world the way that I think many of us Black folks want to. Like, what we had for 3 hours that day, I was like, can I get this every day? Like, can I get people who are invested in centering much needed conversations and topics that we are so exhausted talking about over and over, and sometimes not seeing action? Or I'm not defined by suffering. I'm not always defined by depression. Like, there's some real joyful things that helps me move through the world. Can we center that? Can we center chosen family? Can we center literally relationships with community? Saves lives? Like, so I loved that we could bring all of those collective vibes into the conversation. And it was an absolute gift. And it's going to be a core memory for sure in my transformation as an artist.
Well, this brings up one of the moments from your video, which you can stream on vpr.org if you're interested. One of the moments that really stuck out to me, Farine, was when you were answering a question from a young listener and talking about deciding when to trust an audience with a core part of yourself, trusting the audience to listen to you with openness and honesty. And I am curious for you, as a artist of color that's often performing in a very white space, and I should note now, you know, I'm a journalist who's white, and you know, many listeners right now are white. How do you find that balance between protecting yourself and your heart, and also, you know, bearing your soul as a storyteller and a performer on stage for an audience who you might not know and you're not sure if you can trust?
Yeah, I mean, that I love that question that Lily sent in, and I was like, we have to first and foremost tell the stories that I need to tell right now. So in this moment, even though the audience might be more predominantly white that's listening, I'm talking into this microphone as if there is Black people listening right now. And that's how I can center myself a little bit sometimes in those spaces, because I think a lot of times when someone comes in to speak with you, they cater to the audience. And sometimes something gets lost in what really needs to happen or be said or shared. And so I try my best to say, who's missing in this audience? And if you were here, what am I still going to put out into this room? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, especially in Black culture, the ancestors are always with us. So I just try to hold that in that way and protect the heart. And I'm just now even getting more selective about where I even speak. Like, I'm in minimal places this summer because it was kind of hard being out in the park every Tuesday last summer. I'm like, someone knows where I am every Tuesday at 5 p.m. in an open park. And I couldn't control some of the factors because of just some of the aspects and so forth. And it was like a lot. And I would go home being like, I want to keep giving these vibes, but I'm feeling like, but who's listening? Who's driving by in a car? Sometimes people were beeping. People are hollering. And I was like, yo, so I have to protect this gift. And I try my best to really feel out where is someone going to witness me fully for me to make the choice to insert myself in a collaboration and so forth. And I'm getting even more selective as I continue to grow All Heart Inspirations, because it can be hard to share something so deeply and people saw it more as entertainment. Versus I was trying to like drop knowledge and do healing for us right now. So I'm trying to limit the consumers in the audience versus immersing myself in environments where there's a lot of contributors. Like this space, everything about this vibe right now, there's contributors, even though we're not all aligned in being Black in this space. So that feels good to my soul.
And Myra, you know, you wear many hats, you contain multitudes, and you're not just a VPR engagement producer, you're also a musician and a performer as well. What were you thinking listening to Farine reflecting on her experiences on stage?
Oh, I mean, just in total agreement and alignment. I've actually told Farine, you know, I feel like sometimes we need to make sure that we don't have an accessibility problem as artists, and now, you know, now also that I'm on the radio, and you know, when you're in spaces talking about and unearthing some of these very important things, making sure that you're aware when you're out in the world of who's around you, and making sure that the people who are there supporting you or who have hired you are in a place to protect you as well, and that, you know, doesn't always happen. And then you have to figure out how to protect yourself. But I do think that for the most part, as Farine just said, my whole thing as a musician anyway these days is I'm not doing any gigs I don't like, right? And so, yeah, now I feel, I don't know, I'm older. It's easier to say no to stuff. When I was young and hustling as an artist, it, you know, it was yes, yes, yes all the time. And now I'm like, nope, that didn't feel good. And so now I think I've kind of curated my own inner circles and my own experiences to be pretty awesome.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue speaking with Farine Paris-Meyer and Myra Flynn. Stay with us. You're listening to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. This hour, we're talking about Juneteenth and celebrations of Black culture with Burlington-based storyteller Farine Paris-Meyer and VPR engagement producer and musician Myra Flynn. Recently, Myra sat down with Farine for a conversation about home, about art, Blackness, and belonging as part of Brave Little State's Homegoing series. You can find that video on vpr.org and watch it live on Vermont PBS on Sunday. All right, before the break, we were speaking about the performances that you both do and the joys and struggles of kind of bearing your soul on stage for an audience. Myra, you created the Homegoing series in the wake of George Floyd's murder by police, and in part, as you said, as a reflection of how the Black community grieves but also finds joy. And I'd like to ask both of you, could you think of an instance recently, perhaps a moment of viewing art or a performance that brought you true joy? I love the chance to get to rep other artists here or to introduce people to new moments of joy.
Woo, don't get me started, because I just experienced Discover Jazz Fest. Mm. And I just have to take, because when you say joy, I literally reposted videos of some of the artists that we met that week, that weekend, and it was everything for me to see Jazz Fest this year have a curator that is Black, and it was Blackified like nobody's business, like in these beautiful, radiant, like, we got Juneteenth before Juneteenth came last week, like, because it was just everywhere I went, the Burlington Record Store, the Flynn Space, the Waterfront, it was just Black on Black on Black magic. And it just reminded me of what it feels like when I see other local people of color artists here. And it was just so amazing to just feel that vibe everywhere. And that was just joy. And we just went to church, we praised, we danced into the night, we were unapologetically us, and I loved it, and I'm still smiling from it. Please come back, Wenzo and the Shakes. I love y'all.
Myra, what about you?
Yeah, I have to say the same festival, Burlington Discover Jazz Festival. I actually had a chance to see some music, which, you know, is rare.
Because you were performing a lot during that weekend.
Oh, yes. It was beautiful. It was lush with performance. Mm-hmm. And Rajni Edens, who's been featured on Homegoings as a guest, I got to see him perform. And, you know, Rajni is a poet. Mm. And just one of the most prolific poets I've ever met. He has a second book out that he was reading from. But what was cool is I've never seen Rajni perform with a musician behind him supporting the poetry, which is something on the Homegoings episode with him. I composed the music behind his poems, and something I was so hoping would like carry over into his live performances. And he had James Harvey, who played trombone and drums and all sorts of things behind him in this two-person show. And it was just perfect. It was just so cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Now, another topic that the two of you discuss in your most recent Homegoings video is the concept of home. Now, Myra, you grew up in Vermont, but you lived in many different places, from California to Australia. And I'm curious how you think of this very complicated subject of home now. Does Vermont still feel like home to you?
Oh, you're gonna go there, Michaela.
I'm going. We're going in.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so interesting to be on here talking about me, but I was signed to a record label really young, at 16, and so I've done a lot of touring. It's been like 20 years of touring, and so I would always joke, like, I don't even have any pots and pans. So, like, the idea of home or like sacred space, not that it was lost on me, but it was a luxury that I could not afford to have while building my business and continuing songwriting. Mm. And so I'm new to the concept of home and have returned back to Vermont. I've been here a year now after being everywhere. And I think Home means two things to me. One is definitely where my family is and feels good. So my daughter and my husband and my mom and dad and Phil's sisters and mother are all here. So we haven't been here in a long time, but we're just like we're relearning how to family. We've been across the country for a while. But then also something that makes me feel like I'm at home is when I can relax and I can have some anonymity. And so sometimes the blessing about Vermont, which is community, is also the tough thing about Vermont, which is community for me, where it's like a lot of eyes on you or a lot of people that you know or conversations. And so sometimes it can feel hard like to just not be able to be less accessible and tuck back in. So the good news is I am still a singer, haven't stopped that yet. And I still get to travel around and experience feelings of home or things that make me feel like they really matter to me, like everywhere I go, and take it back to Vermont with me as well.
Well, it reminds me of the pillars of Homegoings, your series, and of that concept that home isn't always just the place that you feel the happiest or the purest joy. It's a complicated feeling. It can also be a place where you feel grief or loneliness, but totally. It's still home.
It's still home.
Yeah. Fareen, you are the child of Haitian immigrants, and you moved, correct me if I'm wrong, you moved to Vermont about a decade ago.
Yes.
Does Vermont feel like home to you?
Vermont does feel like home to me.
Yeah.
Vermont didn't at first. My partner is what brought us up here when he was coaching for St. Michael's with the men's basketball team. I took my time. I think I came a half year later. I was like, I'm in no rush to be unemployed and not have community or friends or job. Like, you do you. Settle some things
there.
For us. I mean, not a little chill here, but with time, Vermont has become home. Mm. I say that though, but with like a caveat that there are particular just moments in time where I just got pinned in the right place to come across somebody who, like, I came across this group and it was families who had brown children, whether they birthed them, adopted them, but they would get together for Black Fridays and have potlucks. And I just happened to meet somebody who was part of that group who was like, you got kids, we got kids. Like, and so that was so beautiful. Like, and those were ways that I started to be like, oh, there are ways that I can take agency to figure out what this means for our multiracial family. Mm. And what does that look like? Since starting my business, though, it's really has felt like home because of just more intentional ways of being in the vibe, especially becoming a parent of another child having kids in the district. It feels like home. There's been some ways that you're like, you know, we finally bought our home. We love our neighborhood. We'll be there 8 years this July. Mm-hmm. It took time getting to know people, getting to trust. I'm reflecting on the song of Diana Ross from The Wiz. And there's a song called Home. And for her, one of the lines is, when I think of home, I think of a place where there is love overflowing. Mm. So for me, that needs to happen, even with the grief and the, like, even when that incident happened where someone wrote the N-word on my car, and that was incredibly traumatic and sad, and it shattered my heart in ways and made me question, like, am I loved here? Are we loved here? But in the same breath, I was then going to see a group of amazing Black women, shout out to Skull, and they let me fall into their couch that day, and I was surrounded by a tribe of Black women, and we cried, and we healed, and we raged, and we laughed, and we saw each other. And so even in that grief, home is where love is overflowing. So love that day, home that day was at Taisha and Lisa's house, surrounded by the crew. There just has to be love overflowing, and I'm finding that love here. But I also know that's not the same narrative for many brown and Black people in this community. Mm. You know, it takes work, it takes energy. It's not gonna just fall into your lap sometimes. And that can be hard, because when you move through this world in bodies that have been marginalized and all of that stuff, you just want to be seen, and you don't want to do the work anymore for someone to see you or put eyes on you or see your worth and care. And so that is in the air for our community, and that tension, you know, and trying to figure that out.
What you're saying reminds me of a moment in the video Homegoings that you and Myra produced together, where you say the brown and black community here in Vermont is one of the most epic things I've ever experienced. Yeah. And you said that with a big smile on your face.
And I said epic because I didn't want to swear, but I would have that is my daughter. She's like, when can I use that word? I'm like, there are right ways where you like, and that would, I would have, but yes, it is one of the most epic, magical stories. I do not know how people are not writing about the brown and black community in Vermont, because it is magic. It is gold. Mm. It is a gift. It is a miracle. And I'm so thankful that I am here and able to witness these people and all of their passions and thoughts. It's life, and it sustains the heart, and it literally puts air into my soul so that I can breathe, especially when the whiteness and other things gets a little bit too suffocating. Mm.
And I also want to say thank you for bringing up the experience, that the terribly racist experience of someone writing the N-word on your car and sharing that with us, and what your response to that was like. It takes an incredible amount of bravery to face something like that. Yeah. So thank you. And Myra, I wanted to talk with you about an experience that you had as well last year at Juneteenth, where somebody arrived at one of your performances wearing a KKK outfit or clothing, and your daughter was there in the front row and had to experience that alongside you. You know, it's about a year since that happened, and I'm curious how you're feeling preparing to go back on stage to both celebrate Black joy, but also reckoning with those feelings from 1 year ago.
Mm. Yes. Well, you know, I certainly don't want to take away from how amazing that day was, because honestly, to Farine's point, even just walking up, I'm like getting goosebumps talking about it, even just walking up and hearing the gospel choir and seeing the outfits and the Black people who were there in the park that day, it was the Blackest it's felt. Yeah. To me in Vermont, not just what I saw or was going to do, but legitimately it felt like very Black and welcoming, and our culture was just very ripe and fantastic. So that day is still a joyous day for me. But yes, in the middle of my set, somebody decided to come and demonstrate, and in a KKK outfit, and of course, it was painful to watch. But I think more so, what was difficult was watching everyone's well-intentioned reaction in the crowd, which actually ended up escalating the situation a bit further, because people started surrounding this person. People started taking the hood off or grabbing the hood and throwing it around. And people were bumping into each other and misunderstanding one another. And, you know, my 1.5-year-old at the time was in the front row, and I had this microphone and a really big choice to make as to whether I'd become a soundtrack for a hateful moment, because also another side of me was BPR, WCAX, Channel 5, cameras and microphones and capturing, and just a lot of decisions to make in that moment. And also wondering, will I need to de-escalate a riot from stage? And really thinking about, I don't have the proper training for this. I would love, in going towards this weekend, I've been thinking a lot about how to train myself or prepare myself better for that moment, because no matter how it felt, I was the one with the platform to possibly keep everyone safe. And I don't think that folks think about that. You know, sometimes they'll just be like, that must have really hurt your heart. It did way more than that. It woke me up to a responsibility that I had in that very moment, and one that I hope we all work towards. If you can't be protected, you need to do the protecting. Mm. And working on finessing that, but really hoping nothing like that happens this weekend, really hoping, because this is no holiday for nonsense. This is a joyful holiday, and everyone should come and experience this beautiful Black joy and celebration, and none of that nonsense. It's not happening. It's just not happening. Not today.
Well, let's talk about some of those celebrations that are on the books for this weekend. I know you two are involved in a lot of them. Fareen, can you tell us about what you'll be doing this weekend?
Yeah, we've been celebrating Juneteenth actually since this past Monday. Monday through Wednesday, All Heart Inspirations, my business, collaborated with Whistling Man Schooner, and we gifted 50 Black Vermonters storytelling sailing excursions on Lake Champlain. And so each boat went out for 2 hours, giving affinity-type Black space, and it was awesome and joyful. Speakers, music. At one point, we even tandemed the boats together. Like, it was just a scene to perform from as an artist. Wow. And just seeing just the deposit that you were putting into each person's spirit, being able to, like, have this moment on the water.
Now, it was really windy yesterday. Were you on
the
water then?
No. Okay, Mother Nature and I, we've been having talks, and I'd be like, listen.
Tamp it down.
We need to do what we need to do Monday through Wednesday, but then you just take care of things, but then don't mess with Juneteenth weekend either. So that's a pause, and from there, I will be performing tomorrow at the Black Experience. That's 4 to 7. There's a variety of Black organizations, artists speaking, and then we're going to conclude with Queen Angela Davis. And so that's happening.
I can't believe that.
I know, she's coming.
I was like, okay.
What is happening? Where are we?
I'm like, hey, Mom, I'm going to, like, just open up for Angela Davis.
No big deal.
And then on Sunday, I am the keynote for the city, and so I will be doing a storytelling keynote at 5 p.m. in City Hall Park, and that will be anchored in this narrative about Juneteenth and the theme this year, which is a love story. And I'm really excited and just manifesting lots of vibes for that, for what my community needs.
Yes. And Myra, how about you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll be performing City Hall Park again, returning to the scene, but with a very different experience, yeah. I'm hoping, from 2 to 3. And then actually VPR, we will be hosting a youth panel. I'll be interviewing some Black Vermont youth on their experience, and that'll be at Roosevelt Park at 4. And then my nighttime, heading over to Winooski and singing Juneteenth Winooski. So it's going to be a day.
And then sleeping? Hopefully you will sleep at some point.
Oh, I don't know. Who needs sleep? Who needs sleep? I have a toddler. Are you sleeping?
Nobody's
sleeping. No one's sleeping here.
My kid's 8. I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, so I think I told my husband to just eat his Wheaties and my mom is coming up. I'm like, bring your overnight bag because you're rolling with us. It's going to be a busy day. So, and hopefully some time to enjoy all sorts of other events as well. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Fareen Paris Meyer is a Burlington-based storyteller, the founder of All Heart Inspirations. Fareen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. What a blessing.
And Myra Flynn is an engagement producer at VPR and the creator of the Homegoing series with VPR's people-powered journalism project, Brave Little State. She is also a musician. Myra, thank you so much for coming on.
I'll see you around the office, Michaela. And just a quick shout out to David Littlefield.
Yes.
Who collabed with us, Vermont PBS, and directed this video. Absolutely. Chef's kiss.
Mwah.
Yes.
Love you, David.
And you can hear more conversation between Myra and Fareen in the latest Homegoing video. That's on VPR.org, and it's going to be broadcast live at noon on Sunday on Vermont PBS. And as Myra said, that video is directed by VPR and Vermont PBS's very own David Littlefield.